Father, in the past few minutes, we felt the gentle breeze you sent. What a blessing. Our Father knows what we need. What we need now is understanding of your word, and we pray you grant that to us. Make us diligent to think and meditate upon it. Grant us understanding, and teach us to live for your glory and to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading is found in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 17. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 17. We've been following the relationship, the development of the relationship between Moses and Yahweh, the Lord, his God, and Israel's God and our God. And we've seen Moses go through a number of different challenges to his ability to trust the Lord. And now we come to this passage. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Taberah means burning. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna." Now the manna was like coriander seed in its appearance like that of bdellium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it. And its taste was as the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. Now, Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families and each man at the doorway of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you been so hard on your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all this people on me? Was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me. Give us meat that we may eat. I alone am not able to carry all this people because it is too burdensome for me. See, if you're going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." The Lord therefore said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And then I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take of the Spirit who is upon you, and will put him upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it all alone." The word of God. You may be seated. Now I've entitled this sermon, God's Weak Friend. And I refer to Moses, but the truth is, isn't it, that we all have weaknesses as we seek to grow as friends and servants of God, as children of God. Though that often pride and blind us sometimes allow us to think otherwise. But any strength we may have, we ought to remember and never forget, always comes from the Lord, to whom belongs all the glory for whatever we're able to accomplish. That's why, for all his usefulness and all of his faithfulness, Moses was weak as the primary leader of Israel. I should say primary human leader of Israel. Ultimately, it was God himself who was the leader of Israel. But Moses was weak. The sheer weight of responsibility and pressure had been increasing ever since they left Egypt. Truth be told, it had begun to pass away even before then. But Moses was weak, and the sheer weight of responsibility and pressure had been increasing, and now the storm breaks. Just a few months since leaving Egypt, Moses is about burnt out. Think about it. The loneliness of the long-distance runner. It's lonely at the top. These sayings would reflect the reality that Moses was experiencing. He carried a heavy burden, and he felt all alone. You heard him say as much. He felt all alone. So he cries out in anger and frustration in verses 16 and 17. Verses 14 and 15. I'm not able to carry all this people because it's too burdensome for me. If you're going to do this, kill me right now. Kill me. I've had it. I'm ready to give up here. I can't do this anymore. He's carried a heavy burden. Now, if it were me, I might have expected, and I think rightfully, that the God would be stern. But I would have been wrong. So I would have been wrong, and it wouldn't have been rightful for me to expect that. Because in verse 17, God shows what I would call his magnificent compassion as well as his wisdom and understanding. He understands human nature. He knows what sin has done to weaken men and women when they reach the end of their capacity. Therefore, rather than rebuke Moses, rather than saying, where's your faith? No, what he says is, let's do something about it. And consider with me then his words in verses 16 and 17. The Lord therefore said to Moses, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. Then I'll come down and speak with you there, and I'll take of the Spirit who is upon you. Notice who, not that is, but who is upon you. And will put him upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it all alone. Remember all that Moses is dealing with as the sole human leader, the sole pastor of the congregation of Israel. And what Moses says here, of course, shows his true understanding of just how weak Moses is. What Yahweh says, and what he says here, has an application to us when we're too weak to live and serve God on our own. I see mothers and fathers here with young children who can be wearing. I see elders here who can be weary as well. Others who have jobs that have them going full tilt all the time, and they feel weary. God understands what we're tired. God understands our weakness. He cares about that. And what he says here as an application to us when we are too weak to live and serve God on our own, which is all the time. There is never a time, beloved, when we are strong enough to do what God calls us to do. We ought always not to be running on fumes, but running on God's power. When you're weary with your responsibilities in life, God wants you to know he has supplied help for you in your weakness. Help may be different than what he's giving Moses, but it is always help to be found in the Lord when you're tired. Beloved, the loving response of your true divine friend is, I will help you to carry your burden. I want you to consider the burden that God gives his servants. The pattern that Moses experienced from the start in Egypt in verses 1 through 6, he complains about it. The people are complaining, rather. The people, we're hungry, we're tired, all we have is a stinking manna. That's basically what they're saying. We've had enough of this. We want meat to eat. And the people are complaining. And Moses' reaction is something. They're grumbling. It's sinful. God's wrath has come upon them. There's been a constant need to put out fires. And Moses' reaction reflects personal anguish bordering on resentment. Why have you done this to me? Just kill me. I've had enough. I can't do anymore. He does appear to be saying, it's not like I asked for the job, did I? It's too much for me. I've had enough. Just shoot me, okay? End the suffering. And we're reminded of the hymn, I think. The line in the hymn, frail children of dust and feeble as frail. And that's what we are. We're children of dust. Dust to dust, you know. Adam was created from the dust of the earth. We are really dust at bottom in our nature. It's only the grace of God, the common grace of God, that enables us to accomplish anything. Even if we're not conscious of it, it's still the grace of God alone. Do you understand how Moses feels? Are there people in this outdoors here who have been there yourself? Mothers and fathers can feel that way, can't they? We've got young students here. You felt that way during final exam time and papers time. You felt that way on the job. You felt like the boss wants too much, even if it's your dad. He wants too much of you. The fact is that it is very, very hard at times. This is a fallen world. And if we expect the fallen world to be an easy time of it, we've forgotten what we deserve for the sin of man. It's tough. There are many of us who've been there. High expectation, followed by long, hard falls when things go wrong. Husband and wives have similar problems as they raise their children, as they deal with their spouses. Employees and their managers too feel that way sometimes. Even those who are not parents or church leaders can feel alone as though life is too much to take a whole lot longer. There's a breaking point, and some of us feel like we're closer to that breaking point than others are. What's wrong here? In one word, it's sin. It's sin. Sin leaves us weak, but it also leaves us proud. Too proud to say, I can't do it. Until we're left screaming, I can't take it anymore anyway. We feel as though all the responsibilities of life are on our shoulders. And even if there are 100 other employees with us, we feel all alone. We feel lonely. Afraid, angry, hopeless of improvement. That's when the psychologists say, well, you're on the border of a breakdown or burnout. And there's only one problem that can get in the way of solving the problem, and that is we have believed the myth, I can do this. We believe we've got our own backs, we've got our own strength. So when we fail, we get angry. We get angry with ourselves for not doing what we think we can do and we ought to be able to do, or angry because nobody else seems to notice we're burning out. I burnt out in my last church. I didn't know enough to ask for time off. There are lots of pastors that do that. But sin leaves us weak and proud. And the root of the problem is we fail to see or refuse to see that we are weak, too weak for the burdens of life and for our responsibilities. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that way as a husband, a wife, an employee, a mother, a father, a child, a student, a secretary? You ever felt that way? Have you ever been there? Don't let pride keep you from admitting it. At least, don't let it keep you from telling the Lord it's too much. I need your help. Because the Lord will help those who cry to him for help. And that's what Moses' words are here, a cry of help to the Lord. I can't handle it anymore. Please kill me. Good sign that Moses can't take anymore. But I want you in the second place to consider God's help for his weak servants. God understood perfectly. And he follows through on earlier counsel from Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Turn with me to Exodus 18, beginning at verse 13. When in Numbers it says that he's going to gather, consecrate for your, no, he says, gather for me in verse 16, 70 men from the elders of people whom you know to be the elders of the people. There's a reason Moses knows that. Exodus 18, beginning at verse 13. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, is present. And it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God and his law." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing you are doing is not good. You surely wear out both for yourself and those people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." Do you hear Moses' words reflecting that? "Now listen to me. I'll give you a counsel and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God and teach them the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select of all the people able men whom fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. You shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you." You hear the echo in Moses. "I can't bear the burden." So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able people out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. They judged the people at all times. The difficult dispute they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they themselves would judge. And it says Moses bade his father-in-law farewell. And I suspect, based on what we're reading in Numbers 11, he also bade farewell his father's counsel at that point. What happened to dividing the burden among the able leaders that he knew of, the men he knew to be elders of the people? What happened to that? Because Moses himself says, "I can't do it alone," which says he was trying to. Good counsel rejected. So, God repeats the counsel. Only this time he says, "I'll be with them, and I will use them." And relief thus provided. God proved himself a kind, compassionate friend to Moses. And I note with interest that he didn't say, "You've forgotten what your father-in-law told you, Moses. You forgot what you..." He didn't do that. He simply said, "Look, pick the people you know to be elders, and they'll be able to help you." The principle first appears in Genesis 2:18. Because God proved himself a kind, compassionate friend to Moses, but he, guess what? He did it with Adam first. Genesis 2:18, you don't have to look it up. "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." And that was the woman. That was his wife. It's a biblical, it was a divine counsel and a divine bit of wisdom in the first place. Help is given from God. But sin, of course, affects our thinking and we forget we have help. The real problem is our instinct to try to do it alone, and I'd say possibly pride as well. By the way, husbands, do you realize your wife is your helper? Don't be proud and not benefit from her as your helper and friend. Don't forget, you're not on your own. There's nothing particularly masculine about not using the help that God's given you. That's pride. That's pride. I've had to fight it in my own life. There are times when Livy just knows better than I do. If she wants to write down the date and time I said that, she can and remind me. But we're given help, and it's the same in other areas of life. So the principle is repeated here. Elisha helps Elijah. Deacons help the original leaders of the church. Look with me, at 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20 with me, we read it before, and you put all of this together, many members with different gifts and roles to play in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. For the body, yeah, I've read that before. And this works in the family too. No husband or wife can do it alone. Some wives are better organized than their husbands, guys, believe it or not. Some of them are. Some of them have more sense than we do. God sends the burdens, but then also provides resources for help. Wives, other relatives, friends, even the children. And we parents may be able to find help in our children that we aren't expecting. Two problems arise when we're burdened then. We don't ask for help due to pride or ignorance of God's provision in the family or the church. Moses forgot. He was supposed to have elders working with him. But second, sometimes pride or fear of exposing our weaknesses or fear of rejection if we ask for help hinders us. But another problem arises when helpers sometimes do not really help, a problem we can discuss another time. But the point is, beloved, God never intended that you or I serve him or bear the burden of service or leadership alone. He never expected that. As with Moses, so with us. God provides others to share the burdens, pastor, elders, brothers and sisters in Christ, prayer partners. So pastors work with elders and deacons who serve in other ways and enable the pastor to focus on his unique work. You may remember that when the deacons were established in the early church, it was because the apostles had no time to be dealing with the personal needs of families, the practical needs. So they appointed men, called them deacons, and said, they'll deal with that, and then we're free to teach the Word of God. And both pastors and elders and deacons teach members to do the same for one another by their example and their teaching. We are the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Thus, Moses learned what we must constantly learn and remember. God is our friend who knows our weaknesses and will always be there to help us carry our burdens by supplying others, leaders, friends, and partners in prayer and office to help us and guide us in our service to him. Scripture teaches us how to handle the burdens God lays upon our lives and shoulders by recognizing that along with the burdens, he also provides help in Scripture, and by the helper, the Holy Spirit. And do not forget that he also gives us the following instructions on how to use that help. Words like these: Beloved, let us love one another, bear one another's burdens. But remember, these instructions are given in a larger context to Jesus' words. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It tells you the first place you go to when you're tired is to Jesus. Pray for his help and ask him to show you where that help lies and how to use it. And take away your pride so that you don't refuse the help out of pride. At the end of the day, the fundamental help is for our weakness is found in leaning on Jesus. Come to Jesus, all of you, my fellow servants and fellow friends of God, and let us find and take our rest in him. For Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother, and the Holy Spirit is our helper. That's his name. Look to God and rest your weary head and body, heart and mind on him. He will hold you fast. Never forget to ask God for help when you need it. Not asking can be a sign of pride or, at the very least, a poor memory of God's word. God is your friend, and Jesus is your friend who will stick closer to you than a brother. Lean on him. He can bear all the weight you lay on him, and he will bear it and hold you fast and keep you safe and sane. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you that you are, in fact, our friend. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, for your spirit, and for brothers and sisters in Christ, and husbands and wives and friends who are there to stand with us and help us stand in Christ. Lord, help us never to forget your rich supply of help when we're weary. Strengthen us and make us wise to use the help you give us. In Jesus' name. Amen.